Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and it is Wednesday, August the 7th, and we all know several things now about Missouri politics, I can tell you that, and one of them is that Cori Bush got beaten pretty soundly. Sort of surprised me, to tell you the truth, although the money numbers sort of suggested that that was what was going to happen, but it was a beating up at the poll. So Cori's out, and Wesley Bell is now in, and that's the reality of the first congressional district. I know certainly a good friend for a very long time, Lacey Clay, he got himself booted out of that job a couple of elections back by Cori. And these things happen. Lacey was a good man. He got beat up badly in the campaign, and then he got pushed out by Cori. And then Wesley Bell turned around and beat out Cori. The sad thing on the Wesley Bell side is that he took enormous amounts of money from people who were very crazy in their view of what's happening in Israel, and it's not simply a matter of supporting Jews or not supporting Jews. It's a matter of understanding that if you ever want peace in the Middle East, both sides are going to have to stop killing each other. Now, it's true that Hamas came into Israel and killed 1,400 people, and more than even just killing, although killing is killing. But it was brutal killing. Women raped first and then shot in front of their children, and then children beheaded by crazed monsters. It doesn't make any sense. It certainly goes back to 1948, and you could say, well, it goes back even thousands of years beyond that. But I'm going to forget the thousands of years and just stay with modern times. And from 1948 until the present, Arabs in the Middle East, led by this Palestinian issue, have fought with Israel. They fought with Israel in 48, and the Arabs lost. They fought in 56, led by Egypt, and the Arabs lost. They fought in 67, also led by Egypt, and the Arabs lost. And then 72, and then 80, and 82, and on, it just keeps happening in the Middle East. And we're in 2024, so that's 76 years past the founding of Israel, and they're still killing each other. And anybody who thinks that either side is making any sense in doing this is incredibly mistaken. Now, no question, Israel has been attacked over and over again, and they have responded. But it's more than just response. It is. Because there are all these settlements on the West Bank, and there are all these ways in which Israel has demeaned the people in Palestine in between the killing. So you can blame everything on one side, you can blame it on the other side, you can say that the Jews took the Palestinian land, but then you'd also have to ask the other question. Why did the Jews take any land? Well, first of all, it was given to them by the British. And secondly, it was because of what happened in Europe due to Adolf Hitler. So it's not like the Jews just woke up one morning and said, let's all go to Palestine and take the land. Now, let me also add this to you, because I've got I've got video, and I may play it someday and maybe not. It's a lot of video, and it's more than I really want to show on the air. It just takes up a lot of time. But back in 1948, if you would have heard the Palestinians and the Israelis talking about the potential for both sides to get along, you would look at the situation. You would wonder, why don't they get along? What happened? I mean, there's all this good talk about what both sides were going to do together, and then they end up killing each other. So, complicated situation. But what's not complicated is the potential for peace, because it could be achieved if Israel reached out in the right way, which absolutely they will not do, because every time they turn around, they've been attacked with rockets and suicide bombers and all the rest that we know, the whole history. And so Israel is angry. They have a desire for vengeance. And okay, that's pretty normal, actually. If you've been killed and shot at and blown up and attacked enough, well, then you're going to want some retribution. And they do. However, the rest of the world could play a role in this in order to damp down all of this hatred, in order to find ways for both sides over in the Middle East to get together and to live together, because they're going to have to live together in the end. What they're doing now is dying together. And how either side sees a benefit in that, I don't know. And I will tell you that here in the United States and throughout Europe, we learned a lesson. And we learned that lesson in 1918, because Germany did a lot of really horrible things under what they called the Second Reich. And, of course, then there was the Third Reich. And then, of course, coming up, if Donald could get his way, there would be the Unified Reich. Where he gets that, I don't know. But anyway, let's forget it for a minute and go back and say that after World War I, the Western world pretty much learned something. Punishing another country can have consequences far beyond what you imagine. You might think we're going to punish them and we're going to do it so deeply and profoundly that they'll never want to hurt us again. But of course, we learned that lesson. We found out that's not true. Because from 1918 to 1933, the hatred in Germany continued to build up until someday, one day, the German people said, not even by a majority, but nevertheless, they said, okay, let's try Adolf Hitler. And of course, we all know how that ended. However, despite how poorly it ended for Germany in 1945, we also know the lesson that the United States learned from it, which was simply, don't punish them. Help them come back. Help them come back to civilization. Help the people of Germany to find a way to normal life so that they could fit in with the rest of the world. And it worked. And we spent billions of dollars rebuilding Germany. Of course, we did the same for Japan, and it worked over there too. But the point is, with all that we did to rebuild Germany and to basically reward the people who hate us, they hated us. We rewarded them. By doing that, well, we made them our best friends. They are the country, Germany, responsible for helping us to get the hostages out of Russia just last week. Greg Carell says, Mark, there are too many radicalized Muslims and Islamic groups to create a united peace in the Middle East right now. So here's my answer to you, Greg. I don't care how horribly radicalized or crazed any of those people are in the Middle East. They are absolutely not worse than Adolf Hitler. Not at all. Not even close. So if you want to talk about who is crazy and who is radicalized and who is dangerous, well, you could point to the radicalized Muslims today and you could say, let's just keep killing each other. Or you could point to the people who hired Adolf Hitler and you could recognize that they were pretty bad people. But look what we did. We fixed it. And we could fix the Middle East if we ever decided to. Now, you know that Donald Trump, let's start with him. There's no way that he would ever do anything to help the Middle East because, in fact, he came up with this plan under his presidency, which not only does he say was a great idea, but I have to tell you, the United States even today and the Israelis praise what he did, which is called the Abraham Accords, because it brought some peace between the Saudis and the Israelis. Now, not completely, but they're working on trying to make it more. But see, here's the problem even with that. And I said this right at the time. You think you're just making peace by bringing in one side, which was basically the Sunni Arabs, but then you left the Shiites sitting over here angry and bitter and thinking about what they could do to fight back against all that was being done, which they saw as being against them. Anybody that studied the Middle East knows if you go back to 1900, 1910, 1915, and take a look at what existed over there at the time. All these Arab tribes, they were all individual tribes that wandered through the desert. And guess what? They hated each other. They wanted to kill each other. In fact, they killed each other over almost anything, including water, which you would understand in the desert would be a problem. So they've always been crazy. Or crazed, or angry, or feeling somehow mistreated. But the point is, we didn't help anything by separating the Sunnis from the Shiite. We left basically the Shia Arabs sitting out in a position of wanting to get as much revenge as they could. And believe me, they're getting revenge right now. So you're saying, Greg, like I said, too many to sit down to create a peace gathering. No, there were too many Nazis in Germany to believe that we could fix Germany, but we did. And I can tell you this, on a small scale, we fixed Egypt. Look where they are. Egypt doesn't fight with anybody. Egypt takes their pay. We pay Egypt $1 billion per year, which is just close to what we give Israel. And we gave them $1 billion a year, and the deal was, if you take the billion, you can't fight anymore. And Egypt said, okay, guess we're not going to fight anymore. Mark, according to DRC, Mark, you understand, there's a civil war brewing up in the UK. In the UK. Do you understand what just happened in the UK? There was a landslide election in the UK against the Donald Trump type crazies. The liberals in England, London, okay? They won, and they won big. So I don't know what kind of civil war you think, unless you think that, Donald and his crew are going to attack the United States, which, by the way, there are a lot of people who think that on the MAGA side anyway. Ben writes here, as for Germany and Japan, they lost a war. We controlled the territory. Well, guess what? I understand that, Ben. But you know what? The Arabs are no longer fighting us the way they were. We've got certainly the Sunnis in a friendship with parts of the United States. And basically, if you build on that, which you could do, and I understand you're not going to do it this afternoon because of what just happened between Israel and the people or the government in Iran, but understand this: if some of those things hadn't happened, or if we just waited until we got a time when things calmed down a little bit, we could even reach out to the Iranians, which, by the way, Barack Obama did. He reached out to the Iranians, and he made a deal. And the United States, and this was unfortunately under George Bush, reneged on the entire deal. I mean, I could show you the details of the 1994 arrangement that we made with Iran. Iran was happy. They were ready to go with it. Now, they weren't going to be allowed to build any nuclear weapons after that, but we had a deal. In this case, the Republicans reneged on the deal. Don't get me wrong. It's not the same Republicans as Donald Trump. The Trump people are 1,000 times worse. But George Bush didn't do us any favors by reneging on Clinton's deal. We could have helped the Iranians in a lot of ways. And if you think to yourself, well, I don't know if I like the Iranians. Well, let me say this. The people in Iran just voted for a reformist government. I have said this for months before this election. The Iranian people are amazingly progressive. They hate the mullahs. They hate all that religious fanaticism. They're ready to give up on it. They're more like the people in Los Angeles than they are what we think of as radicals in the Middle East. But we don't allow any room for those reformists to work the magic that can occur in a country like what happened in Germany. DRC again says, you know, there's no go zones in the UK that the police won't deal with. DRC, if you think anything's happening in England, if you think there's a revolution about to break out in England, honestly, you're in the wrong conversation. It's not even close. And then you're telling me, Iran, the Iranian deal with Obama is because Obama's a Muslim. Okay, see, that's the problem. You're listening to this Trump nonsense, silliness, craziness. It's not true. First of all, Obama is not a Muslim. Secondly, even if he were, he's an American, and he's a proud American, and he's not turning anything over to anybody else anywhere in the world. He was the president for 8 years. He was an American president and a loyal American citizen who was born in the United States, not Kenya. Greg Correll says, they did in the 1960s, and the Iranian religion leaders put the women back in burqas. Actually, you're looking at the wrong years, because what happened is after the Shah was thrown out, then the Iranian leaders took over, and it was a little later than what you're saying, Greg, but that's not even the point either. Because the point is, yes, radical leaders eventually took over in Iran, did a lot of bad things to us, as well. And believe me, we caused some of that problem through our relationship with the Shah, but put that aside. You're going way back in history. But here's the thing. The people of Iran today are amazingly progressive. Now, Greg says, no, you're wrong. They had mini skirts in Iran till 1975. Well, that's exactly what I just said. You said that those religious leaders took over in the 60s. I'm saying it was later. You're right. 1975. Okay. The point is this. There is an opportunity to do something to help the Middle East. But you're not going to do it by putting your finger on the scale on the side of Israel or putting your finger on the scale on the side of the crazed Shiite Muslims who are fighting on the behalf of the Palestinians. None of that's going to work. You've got to find a way down the middle. You've got to protect the rights of Israel, and you have to protect the rights of the Palestinians for sure. And I could tell you that there are people over there who will never give up. I understand. But they are in the vast minority. Most of the people over there do not want to die. They want a life with their families. I was reading the other day a lengthy article in the New York Times about the families in Palestine that right now, even in the midst of all of this, are trying to find some way to keep their businesses alive so that they can be in business and have a country when all of this ends. But we never let it end. That's the problem. Okay. Mark, you aren't paying attention. Did you know we're funding these groups via these huge pork bills? No, listen. We are not funding extremists in the Middle East. We are funding extremists in the United States like Donald Trump. We pay him a lot of money, hundreds of thousands a year, because he was the president of the United States, even though he tries to terminate the Constitution. He tried to overturn a free and fair election in Washington, D.C. by breaking into the Capitol and busting everything up and attempting to murder his own vice president. So, you know, you could talk about all these conspiracy theories about where United States money is going, but I'll tell you this. The United States money goes to a lot of really great places. We do terrific things with our money. And of course, one of the great places that it goes to is NATO. What are you talking about? Let's see. DRC says, I said foreign and domestic. This has been during Biden's administration. Let me say this. Biden has done one thing. He has rebuilt NATO. That's what he's done. He has rebuilt it. He has created tremendous goodwill between Europe and the United States, which is about $56 trillion in gross domestic product around the world. And China's got about 16, 17 trillion. And of course, Russia's got 1 trillion. So, you know, what Joe Biden has done is to build a real bridge of friendship between very terrific people. And he has done it in a way which, in a way, has that group frightened. Frightened that Donald Trump will come back and take away everything that Joe Biden has just built. And if you want an example, which we've talked about, and you should know if you watch the news, of what was done because of the building of friendship between the United States and Europe, the answer is we got all those people back from Russia. It would have never happened without Germany. Germany did it for the United States, but specifically, they did it for Joe Biden. They said they did. They did it because Joe Biden asked them to do it. And they're trying to be friends with Joe Biden because Biden has been their friend and has helped to rebuild NATO and protect Europe from the onslaught, which would have been all over Europe if we'd have walked away from Ukraine. I mean, you have to understand, Donald's trying to tear down NATO in order to allow Vladimir Putin to run wild in Europe and essentially do what Adolf Hitler attempted to do in 1938. But Joe Biden has stopped it. The man who you make fun of, others as well, because he's got speech problems, because he's getting old, he's got issues, geriatric issues, because, hey, it happens. You're in your 80s. It happens. That man has accomplished more than any of the presidents on the Republican side that you can think of going back 30, 40 years. And let's make it 40 years because let's include Ronald Reagan, who did a lot of very, not only bad things, but clearly illegal things, which he was allowed to walk on, understandably. He did it as part of his job as president. He could have been in a lot of trouble for it, but okay. He and others got away with it. Some didn't. There were some people who went to jail. But look, you're conflating some very different situations. I understand I brought up Europe, but I did it for a reason. And you're adding in all kinds of other things that really miss the point. The point is simple. The United States has done a tremendous job by paying other countries in order to stop fighting. We paid Germany, we paid Japan, we paid Egypt, and it's worked. Because, you know, sometimes when you build friendships, those friends don't want to kill you anymore. Doesn't seem to be like a difficult concept. Certainly it would be a difficult concept. Yeah, I brought it up. I said I did DRC, and history does matter. I understand, but that's what I'm trying to say to you. History does matter, and the point is, history has shown that you can fix some of these problems by doing things to damp down the killing, rather than to think that you can just send out missiles all over the world and think that the other side is just going to lay down and say, okay, you threatened us, you killed us, we're gonna be nice to you because you killed us. No, they want retribution, just like Donald does. And what happens every time you want retribution, it comes back against you over and over again. Greg says, no, Trump is not. He was being strong and not taking the BS from the bullies. Well, you know what? The bullies, as you call them, are tremendously frightened that Donald could walk back in and turn the entire world over to Vladimir Putin. And I have to laugh because I wonder what you would say. You've got so much bravado here against Joe Biden, but I wonder what you would say if Donald Trump walked into the White House, turned off NATO, turned everything over to Vladimir Putin, including the keys to the United States, meaning you. They would get you. But see, that's the problem. All these Trump people don't realize, and I've said this for years, if Trump met you, he would spit in your eye. He is a hateful, miserable person who despises not only his enemies, but even his friends. But he tells you that he loves you. And so you say, okay, I'll send him more money. All you got to do is look. you know, I started this thing out. I was talking about one of the things that he's so proud of. The unified Reich. That's what he wants to make the United States immediately after he becomes the president, or if he had the chance. And if you say it's not true, I think you better go back and look up what he put on that crazy thing. I guess he calls it truth something or other. I can't even say the words together. He wants to make this Germany. He loves Hitler. He studies Hitler. He reads Hitler before he goes to sleep at night. Ask his wife. The man is mentally ill. And you love him. Hard to understand. But that's where we're going to stop for a minute, because right now I have to do something else, which is take you to dinner. And we go to dinner. We don't have to talk politics. We don't have to fight with each other. We can enjoy each other at Wendy's at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road in the Valley. It is a great restaurant with great food. By the way, I'll get right back to this. Friday night, I've got my Trump friends coming in, so you might want to listen. They are going to be, one of them at least is going to be in the studio, and I know two are going to be remote, and they're going to come and talk to us about why they agree with you, and you can even call in then. But anyway, Wendy's. So let me say this. You can argue about the rest of this, but you can't argue about the wings. The wings are great. Everybody loves them. And the smoked meat. And hamburgers, cheeseburgers, patty melts. I like patty melts. I like them a lot. Salad, great drinks. And of course, when it comes to the drinks, what I really love is their iced tea. Other people drink sort of harder things, but I'll stick with the iced tea. And then, of course, there are the baby back ribs. They're great. And onion rings. I happen to love onion rings. I like onions. Onion rings are great at Wendy's. So are the baby back ribs. And it's all great food at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And by the way, when you're through there, it's not over. All you have to do is run down the road to Defiance, Missouri, 2999 South Highway 94, and get the same great dinner again at Wendy's. They are going to make you pay again, however, because, you know, it's not like free food, but it is great food. Again, Wendy's. And thank you, Ben and your wife, for Wendy's. Now, if you're looking for jewelry, my friend Al and his son AJ are at 4506 Hampton, and that is Jewels on Hampton. And their jewelry is excellent. Lots of it. Tons of it. Cases filled with it. All you have to do is go there, check it out, and talk to, and I'm only hesitating for a second. I see Greg saying, Joe, put Greg on the air. Well, we'll talk about that in a second. I can get you on the air. I want to. I got to take my phone out and do this. But let me go back to Jewels on Hampton first, and then I'll put you on the air, Joe. That's great. I should have done this in the first place. For this, you can blame me. I was wrong. I should have done it. So I got to exit out of MSNBC. I can take care of that real quick and click this button and that button. Okay. The phone number you can call, Joe, is 314-471-1968. So back at Jewels on Hampton, you go to see Al and AJ, and they'll tell you all about the great jewelry that they have there and all of their terrific ideas for designing jewelry, because they're great at that too. And if you go there and meet with them, and maybe you have jewelry or coins you want to sell them or buy or trade, all of this is possible at Jules on Hampton. Now, after everything you do there, don't forget, they are experts when it comes to fixing watches. That's Jules on Hampton, 4506 Hampton. And now to Clayton for the St. Louis Suit Company, where the best men's clothes, it's unbeatable, truly. I come in here every day with my $5 ties that look like they're 50. Somebody said once, well, they come from China. Well, guess what? If they come from China, they come from China. But you know what? They're great, excellent ties. In addition, they got suits, they got shirts, they got shoes, they've got overcoats. What a great deal for the overcoats. Now, if you wait until it gets cold, the deal won't be as good. But the St. Louis Suit Company, hey, they're the best. They coordinate me all the time, so my colors don't look crazy because I've told you before, I am colorblind. All in all, they're great. And on top of being outstanding for men's clothing, they're also terrific with wedding attire. So that is the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. They've been there now 30 years, and they're not going away. You should check them out, and if nothing else, go buy a tie. You'll end up buying more, but check the ties because they are outstanding. So one more time here, Greg, if you want to call, you can now. 314-471-1968. When I see you on the board, I'll swipe you in, and that'll be it. So it's easy to do, and then you'll be here. Okay, Greg says, stop twisting my words to fit your narrative. Well, first of all, I do have a very good narrative. I know what I'm talking about, but here we go. Maybe this is Greg. Let's see if I can allow you in so that you can tell me your own words. Hang on. How about this? Is this Greg?
Yes, it is.
Greg, that's terrific. How are you?
I'm good. I wanted to wait for you to finish up with the sponsors.
Well, I did.
Those are great people.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to wait beforehand. Okay. But if I may have like 20 seconds beforehand, I want to preface something.
Greg, you can have anything you want. Go ahead.
All right. First off, I enjoy our banter.
Okay.
I really do.
Good.
And the other thing is I am, that's why I wanted to call in. I have been offended by the individual attack. Now, I have not individually attacked any of the people you respect. I say what's going on, saying what has happened. For instance, just a quickie, and I'm just throwing out an example. We don't have to discuss it. $6 billion plus went over to Iraq. Months later, the Palestinian stuff happened. They had, where did they get all that gear? Okay. The other thing, Mark, is please stop referring to Trump and all his allies as Nazi or Hitler. Man, I am four generations out of being Jew. Ashkenazi, Hungarian Jew. My great-grandmother married a Christian when she came to this country. My great-great-grandmother. Okay, that's how I became Christian, by indoctrination, like we all are, right?
Yeah, I was just gonna say everybody that's Christian came from Jesus, who was Jewish. But yes,
exactly.
Okay.
We're brothers just as much, and that's the thing. But I find offense of that being said every time that Trump and his your words cronies are being mentioned and referred to as Nazis or Hitlerisk and everything else.
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Sure. And we don't have to go any. I mean, we could keep doing this a little bit. So here's the problem. You got a guy who said that he wants to make the United States the unified Reich. So explain to me why that wouldn't be associated with Hitler.
Trump never said that, first off.
Oh, no?
Second off.
Wait. He wanted, stop. Well, how did I come up with that idea? Where did I get that?
Because of all the cronies that do the same thing on the Trump side that they do on the Biden side, the anti-this and anti-that. They pull those words out of the world and say it.
Greg, they pulled just it like off of Truth Social.
Wait a minute. Just like they said, Trump said he's going to be dictator for a day. Or dictator. No, he said he was joking and said, I'm going to be a dictator for a day and I'm going to reverse everything that Biden did on his first day.
Okay, let me ask you this.
I hear you. That just like everything else.
I hear you. So let me ask you this. When he said 2 days ago that he loves the work of Maduro in Venezuela, and he said Maduro's a dictator in Venezuela, he's done a great job and he's cleaned up all the crime. Did you like that?
Not personally, but on the other hand, everybody doesn't see this. He is not a politician. He is a businessman. A businessman runs things differently. And one of the biggest things is you don't burn bridges, even with the idiots, the jerks, and I respect you, and that's why I'm not cussing, because I'd love to use some colorful words on different politicians on every end, including Israel. I think it's time to put a kind of like a weird curtain up and say, cross this curtain, here we go again. That's the biggest problem, that peace curtain goes up with Israel, but Palestine goes across it. And you know as well as I do the history of Iraq. And you know what I meant by that. Not that in 75 it all happened. No, what I'm saying is in the earlier days, they had mini skirts in Iraq and all that until that revolution.
Well, that's true.
That political revolution in the early 70s, 75, when it came to a head with the Shah and everything else.
It's just what I've been saying. The people of Iran are amazingly progressive.
Yes, but you twisted my words saying it happened, that the revolution was back in the 60s. No, I meant the 60s was the revolution, but, like we had with America and the long-haired hippie freaks don't cross their
But you were on the chat and you couldn't explain yourself, and now you are. That's fine.
Okay. Yes. You know, and like I said, as part, I have a deep religious heritage of us all being brothers, the 12 tribes and so on and so forth and everything else. I want peace. It's just as much as you do. But comparing and making comments like that only stir it up and make it worse.
Okay, you know? But by the way, let me stop you for a second. Because DRC is here saying that Gonzalez won in Venezuela and the world knows it. But here's the thing. DRC doesn't want to admit that Donald Trump praises Maduro and actually idolizes the man because he was able to accomplish what Donald couldn't do, which was to win an election that he actually lost.
Well, you know, like everybody has said, and honestly, I think he lost too. I agree. But I do think there were some weird things that happened. It was a very weird time. I marked it off as what I called the litmus time. Okay, people wanted something different according to the election. I said to even my neighbors, this is the litmus test for Joe Biden. I respected my president. And what happened? Things went from 2.0 to 1. Whatever in the interest rates, gas was low, everything else. And everything shot up after Biden took office. Trump recovered the stock market 10,000 plus loss in March 2020. Recovered it by the time he left office.
Okay, but look what you're missing. After he left,
I'm missing my interest. Listen, I'm missing my money.
Hang on a second. After he left, those indexes went dramatically higher under Joe Biden. And first of all, they did.
Mark market daily. Oh, it didn't. It crashed and didn't crash, but it never went back up until the longest time. Until just recently.
So hang on. Let me read you the numbers because you, Greg, you're saying things that aren't true. And hang on,
in front of me, Mark.
Hang on. Well, no, right.
Market in front of me.
No, you've got them in front of you, and I got them in front of me. But you're telling me my numbers are wrong, and I'm telling you that you're wrong. Because watch the numbers. Hang on. I'm going to give you the Dow Jones Industrial Average. We could do the S&P. The S&P is even more. The S&P was even more bullish. But let's just take the Dow. Let me just pull it up here real quick. Okay,
January 20th, 2021.
Hang on a second.
Started at that.
Well, I will. Wait a second. I'm going to start. Hang on. I'm going to start it. Let me make this a longer chart. That's all right. We're not going anywhere. Joe isn't throwing us out.
Yeah. By the way, just to fill in some time while you're looking.
Yeah.
I made $10,000 in 1 month with the stock market going up and down.
Well, you know what? Someday you might be as good as me. Okay.
I'm better, Mark.
Okay.
I'm better, no offense.
You could believe it.
I've turned a small amount.
I know.
Into,
hang on. Hang into, on. Shh, hang on.
Okay.
So the Dow Jones went from 20,000 under Joe Biden to 40,000. No, I know you want to cut it off. Yeah. Wrong. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
20,000 under Trump.
Yeah,
it started at 19,968 and went back up to January 20, 2021 to 31,23.
Yeah, 29,000, and then it went to 42,000. So
Four years.
That's right. So listen, 29,000. Wait. 29,000 to 42,000. Okay. And I'll tell you what, I'll give you 31,000. I don't care. 31,000 to 42,000. That's 11,000 points up on the Dow Jones, which is 30-some percent under Joe Biden, at least. And you know what? You're not praising that, are you?
No, because...
because you don't want
you're wrong with the numbers. First off...
I used your numbers.
Let me now. You said Biden first was 19,000. No, and then you corrected yourself. Now, did you also forget when Trump took office, the stock market was below 25,000?
Okay, hang on.
Brought it up to over 33.
Okay.
The COVID hit, and it tanked down to 19, and he brought it back up. So you watch those numbers.
Greg, slow down. Slow down. You don't want to make this so nobody can understand what we're doing here. So just listen. In 21, the S&P was 3,700. It topped out just a few days ago at 5,700. So the S&P was actually up almost, not quite double, but close to double. And that is during this period of Joe Biden, and you think that all of that's meaningless. It doesn't count, and you don't like it, and you're not impressed, but you're impressed by Donald Trump, who, by the way, and you'll explain this to me, you say he's a businessman. He's a businessman who's been convicted of 34 felony counts. Do you care about that?
That has yet to be determined, and you know as well I do.
The jury found him guilty.
Right. But it's still the process of appeals, and talk about that guy that got released after 30 years of incarceration.
Right.
This justice system and this political system has never been right. It has never been proper and correct the way we all would love it to be. Now, I'm defending Trump. Not Trumpism. I'm not Trump this or that. I'm saying
we had a
conversation like this.
How about the rape?
Like this is.
Hang on.
Hold on. Let me finish.
How about the rape?
Like we said before.
The man. Hang on a sec. We're down to 10 minutes. How about this? The man was found to have raped a woman. How's that? You okay with that?
By words only. There was no evidence. Yes, that could be as much as someone saying I raped somebody else. Or whatever. Dude, I've had a stalker that lied like all kinds of stuff in the back past. So
what you're saying is if you rape somebody and the jury finds you guilty and you don't like the evidence, you can just walk out.
Don't twist my words, Mark. What I'm saying is someone came in. That's like me saying to you, Mark, that you took my car and I parked it in your driveway. You know, and I'm not defending Trump as a person. I'm Trump defending the right of people having fairness. And Trump has never had a fair fight.
He's a rapist.
Since when he went down that, wait a minute. He went down that elevator. They started up on him. We have never in the history of this country had something like that happen where the political system went after a president before they became president. Oh, and to add something, Mark, I have read Mein Kampf 3 times.
So has Trump.
I've read a lot of political stuff.
But you don't read it at night, do you?
Oh, I've gone to bed falling asleep.
Yeah, but I'm saying you don't.
Let me finish.
You don't read the speeches of Hitler every night before you go to sleep, do you?
No, but I'm a historical person too. I have been okay. I'm going to let out a little secret here. Not a secret, but it's something about me. I have been medically retired for 10 years because of my health issues. Ask Joe what I have to go through. But I'm up all hours, and I love history. And I've watched enough history to back up just Trump saying, and I'm not, and if anybody else said it too, some of these guys were geniuses, evil geniuses. But they were geniuses. Hitler unified
Germany. Let me ask you. I got a question for you, Greg. Well, Greg, you can add, Greg. I am running it here. So listen, I'm just asking you. You can add your other comment with this, but I'm asking you to listen to this one. Now you know that Donald Trump said that the blood of America was being poisoned by immigrants coming from Africa. Now, my question is, first of all,
No,
he said it. I'll play it for you. Now, here's the question.
He said also
Greg,
the Islamic, the Chinese, and everyone of them. Don't forget to add all of them.
Yeah. So in other words, you think everybody's poisoning our blood. Well, that could be okay too.
The point is
Hitler-esque.
Biden is letting in the
it's Hitler-esque.
Like it's nothing.
Okay, wait. Hang on. I got to ask you. Okay. So if he said that the blood of America was being poisoned by these people, then he was told, you're using the words of Hitler. And then instead of saying, you know, this is not about Hitler. This is about immigrants. Instead, he turned around and he said the same thing again. He said, the blood of America is being poisoned by these people, and I don't care. You can't stop me from saying it. Now, you explain to me how that indicates anything but that the man is tied into this crazy neo-Nazi stuff.
Okay, here's this very simple example
of
what he's saying. You have a pool, okay, just a pool with water. You have a pool that fills in with water, rain. You have water that you pour in yourself. How much pee in the pool are we going to take before it becomes so unbearable? Trump is saying we're letting in too many bad characters so easily. My family came to this country the right way through the right process. I have a history, genealogy history that puts my family in the Revolutionary War, in the Civil War, in the my great grandfather was at in World War II. My grandfather was at Pearl when it was attacked with my grandmother and my unborn father.
Okay, Greg, that's your family, not Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a crazed psychopath, and your family is very nice, no problem.
What I'm saying is Trump is just saying you need to come the right way, and I don't want the pieces of crap coming in.
Why does he keep using the language of Hitler?
Well, maybe he does. You can compare it to anything. You could say I did it to you.
But why? I'm asking you why you think he continually uses Hitler's language. That's all. Why?
Because we have so much of a history, we can't say crap without it being referred to everybody. You know what? When I look at you, Mark, you look at my you look like my neighbor, whose name is Dave.
I might be your neighbor, for all you know.
He has a, you have a twin, and you look exactly like, except for the glasses.
Yeah.
We all have references of everything.
All of us white people look the same. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I went to Berkeley, so I know that routine.
Yeah.
I went to school with Cedric the Entertainer. That's where he got a lot of his jokes from, our school.
Okay.
But to say something again about NATO and all those other things you mentioned earlier, he didn't say he was pulling out. He said he will pull out because we were the financial and the policemen of this world without nobody paying. And when Trump says, I'm going to pull out, I'm going to quit paying, every one of those people started paying again and started joining in to stop the BS again. And then when Biden came in, and I'm not knocking Biden right now, I'm saying the time that it came in, all this stuff started happening again. Iran, Iraq, Ukraine, Israel, it all because we had a weaker president than Trump.
Yeah. See, unfortunately, now, and by the way, and listen, Craig, I let you go there. So listen, yes, you know, first of all, you know, we're sort of running out of time, but I want to say that the things that you're saying are not exactly true. In fact, they're mostly not true. But you know, for you to say one thing and me to say you're wrong, and then you to say you're right, that doesn't work. But because we're just yelling at each other. So what I'm going to do is tomorrow, I'm going to bring some numbers, and I'm going to put them on the screen, and I'm probably going to throw a couple of clips up there as well for you. And if you want to check this out tomorrow, that'll be okay. I also want to, before I end here, because, and it's fine, I'm glad you called, and any of these other people could be calling too. But let me say, a lot going on in the markets today. I hope you shorted this thing when it was up this morning, did you?
I knew it was coming, so I went ahead and took my money out.
But you didn't short it, huh? Oh, you, okay.
And I didn't short it.
Okay.
I just let it sit.
Okay.
And then I'll wait for it to come back up.
Well, you could have shorted it.
I'm at the mark before this market stopped.
Okay.
You could have. I bailed out on a week ago on my day trading.
Good.
And sitting on it, waiting for the market to well, actually, I put it back in when the market started going up yesterday.
Okay. I'm proud of you. But if you took it out again, you were smart.
No, I didn't take it out this time. I'm up above where I took it out or put it back in again.
Okay. And then DRC, let me respond to DRC here because he's sort of having a fit on the chat board, calling me names and so forth. But which is okay, DRC. I don't mind. I'm not offended by any of it. But let me say this. I am not going along with what the leftists say. In fact, it's more likely that the leftists are following the ideas that I believe in, and perhaps they're just doing it because it's common sense. But I know, you know, that sort of upsets, you know, some of you, and that's understandable. But you know, tomorrow I'm going to lay some of this out to you. I'm going to help you to sort it out, Greg, so that you can then, if you like, it could be tomorrow, it could be another day for you. But if you'd like to speak up to some of the issues that I think you've sort of twisted backward and forward, and I want to try to untwist it for you. So we'll try to do that tomorrow. And then if you have a chance to call in, you can. And if you don't, we'll do it another day. So I appreciate you calling in, and you've been very respectful, and I really like it. And I hope you listen on Friday, because I got these great Trump people who are going to be on the air Friday. So these are some of your brothers and sisters. And so you can listen and see if you agree with them or not.
Don't put me in with everybody
else. I said, or not.
I meant brothers and sisters of Trump. No,
yeah.
They are not my brothers and sisters of Trump.
Okay.
Well, I just have my opinion.
Hey, that's.
I was almost going to vote for Biden back when he didn't run in 2016.
Well, you can't
discuss this. You and I did before.
Okay, but first of all, you can't vote for Biden now because we've got a better one, And secondly, I got to run out of here. Thanks to the people from the St. Louis Suit Company, Jules on Hampton, and of course, the very great Wendy's. And I'm Mark Kaysen, and this is Showdown and Greg.